All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Oh, let me get my remote control. Okay, it's good. Good morning. I just wanted to remind you that next Sunday, yes, the saving time, daylight saving time is ends, and we need to fall back 1 hour. So hope you know you won't forget. I just wanted to remind you that one. Young adults, we went to Shenandoah National Park. I think it is called the Humpback Rock. We really enjoy it. I don't know how your weekend you spent, but it's good going out in the outdoor and enjoy the weather. It's so awesome that God created this whole world and so beautiful. We went to the top of the mountain and wow, looking down, oh, it was a really beautiful sight. Yes, autumn is one of the favorite seasons that we really enjoy. So we want to praise God for how He created, and not the whole world, but all of us. And He really loves us, and we want to hear from God. We want to come before the presence of the Lord, and we want to read a scripture all together. All right. Let's read a scripture from Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Let's read it all together. Let's begin. The Lord answers Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Hebron. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink." Amen. Amen. I want to rely on this God's word, Exodus chapter. Actually, the passage is from the verses 1 through 7, but we just read 5 and 6, but we will go through whole passages. It's about God provide water. While people, they thought that there's no water and they needed it. So that's a necessary thing that they have to have. This water is a very basic thing that we needed. But how that happened while they were on journey from this is Exodus, they just came out of Egypt where they were under slavery. And then how they got into the promised land. So it's in the right in between, before they get into Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments, all the laws, and how to build the tabernacle. So this is a time period that we are looking into it. All right. We are doing a series. It's just a foundation of faith. Foundation of faith. Where I get that word is from Jude chapter 1 verse 20. According to a contemporary English version, it says, "Dear friends, keep building on the foundation of your most holy faith." And like a brick by brick, we're building up our faith, but starting from the foundation. This, we have to have a great foundation for our honoring God, reverence to the God, they have that faith. So most of them is, how we get saved. Once we saved, how can we, being faithful Christian? So that's the one, based on this story, told that how they were not truthful and to trust the Lord. No, they eyewitnessed how marvelously, miraculously God brought them out of slavery, country called Egypt. So we want to learn something from that will really build our faith, holy faith. The foundation of our faith is how we see the world, the world view. Once we have the solidified and a good view of how to look around our lives, and who am I? Where am I heading to? You know, what is the purpose in my life? We have to have that good foundation. We call it worldview. Yeah. You know, like on the right side, in front of the in the pew, you might love the color. You know, do you like the color red? Yeah, some of you like the color red. Some people don't like it. Some people, like most of Korean people, they don't write when you're writing a person's name, you don't use red color, right? They feel like a red color, it means about death. So they don't usually, that's not a common color for Korean people. So that's a worldview, you know. Some people like it, some people don't like it, some people don't even associate with people, they like the red color. They don't even think that it should be there, should be red color. So this is how they perceive the color called red. But let me ask you this. How about this? How would you like to have some red apple? Right now, you're not thinking about red and you're kind of hungry. You kind of, yeah, that's my favorite fruit. You don't think about red color. Then, yes, I would like to have the red, you know, even if it's red, I love apple. But why you? Because I kind of introduced to you that red color, right? So how you perceive, what is your base and how you see the red color and how you think about apple? That's your worldview, how you perceive the all, something around us, color or fruit and the food and anything. Any sports? Yes, that's what we call worldview. How do you see about yourself, your life? That's worldview, your purpose for your life too. But God doesn't want us to have a wrong worldview. No, God wants us to have a right view about God, like a spiritual, a worldview is kind of, God wants us to, have a solid and a sound, biblical worldview about God, about Holy Spirit, about humankind. What about salvation? How can we be saved? About hell or heaven? That's our worldview. Biblical sense, we say it's not worldview, we call it doctrine, or sometimes we call it theology. So that's how we build a holy faith on a solid rock. Usually we want to build that faith based on Bible, the scripture, Holy Bible. The doctrine is the one that we study, that what God has to say about this kind of issue. Let me talk about the question. Does God not turn his back on us when we commit sin? Or does he turn his back on us? Or he's still looking at us with a passionate love toward us when we commit sin? That could be one of the questions that God must have said something somewhere in the Holy Scripture, the whole Bible. So that's our question. So I want to build some good solid foundation for our faith about salvation. Salvation is basically we need the Lord. That's a very profound statement that we can say, because we got lost and somebody has to save us, right? If you are under the water, you can't get out of that depth of the water. Well, somebody has to come throw the rope and so we can grab the rope and come out of that water. So that's why when we talk about salvation, we need someone's help. What does God have to say about it? When we commit sin, like we got lost, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, what is the right decision? What's the wrong decision? Can God correct me? Can God save me? Now, I'm under depression, I'm lonely. Could somebody correct me, help me? Does God turn back on us because we commit sin? Or does he still take care of us, still love us? That could be a legitimate question. It's all about salvation. So we have a problem first, and what God has provided for us, all that matters, and what God has promised for us, for our condition, that we need the Lord because we have problem. So let's get into the text. We didn't read the verse 1, but that's what was the problem. Chapter 17, verse 1, book of Exodus. All right, problem. What was the problem? The problem was there was no water. Let me read it to you. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 says, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert Shin, traveling from place to place. There's a stage, one by one. It not just go one place, but before he get to, they get to this place called Rephidim. Traveling from place to place. How did that happen? As the Lord commanded. Wow. God has planned it. It was God's will, because he commanded for them to go from place to place. They camped. Finally, they got to this place called Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled. They argued with Moses and said, give us water to drink. There was not enough time to provide anything, but just right away. But as I highlighted the word, it was God's intention. Sometimes God bring us to place that something that we needed, but there was nothing there. Maybe people, maybe when I went to the college undergraduate, there was no Korean community. It was me, just me, the college. Well, I needed somebody can speak Korean and have a good friendship or something. It was kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know. Some people think that I'm Japanese. They don't know where the Korean is. That back then, 1980s. There was no water, no food, no good community, or whatever you needed for us to live, for you to live. There was no water. Sometimes we get to that kind of situation. Wow. But it was all intended by God to bring them to this place. That means it was under God's control. Sometimes we think that God is not with us when we run into some problem or difficulties. But we know that God is there. But instead, they didn't seek God. They were seeking some solution that somebody has to blame. It was quarrel with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this place where there's no water? Wow. So what was the problem? No water. Some necessary thing wasn't there. Sometimes we do. Sometimes, when we were growing up, we didn't have a great childhood sometimes. You know? There are so many things lack of in our lives, something that's supposed to be there. Sometimes we have a relational problem. Sometimes we have financial problems. There are all kinds of things. Sometimes physically, I'm not healthy. I should have a good health. There's so many things that there's lack of something in our lives. That's the moment that we need to seek God. We need to help, Lord. But instead of they go up to the Lord, this is the people, they witness that God miraculously brought them out of slavery. And even they just crossed the Red Sea. Wow. Right after they got out of Egypt, Oh, they got here, it only took 6 weeks to get there. Already they've forgotten how they were saved. Oh, it's only 6 weeks. And they just found out there's no water. And if that's the case, oh, God could have done something. I know that God can help us. But instead of seeking God's will and the God's help, they were fighting against the leadership. Not only there was no water, what was the other problem they do have? Well, this is how they describe it. This is how they interpret it. This is their worldview, how to interpret what kind of problem they have. Verse 2, chapter 17. So they quarreled with Moses. This is what they said. Give us to drink. Give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to test? Two words. They were arguing against God's leadership. Secondly, they were testing God's patience. Wow. They were testing. Wow, God can take care of all those things that they don't trust the Lord. But there's lengthy time they have, Bible recorded, they tested the Lord 10 times. 10 times. It's not just one instance. Well, about 10 times, they stick to their mind. Not just once. Many times that they just put him into test. Should we trust you, Lord? Should we not trust you, Lord? That kind of attitude. If there's no water, I know God can provide us, but God is not there. I don't think he cares about us. We sometimes do that. If we have a financial problem, we always think that if God is helping us, is God is for us? Did I do something wrong? Is a part of his punishment? Why am I going through these difficulties in this broken world? So, testing of God's patience because they did not trust. So there was no water. Not only no water, there was no trust. They were testing God's patience. So back to back, verse 1, verse 2, we can recognize there was problem. But this passage is describing about how they got the water. The last verse, beginning, there's problem. At the end, verse 7 says, wow, this is basically their worldview. This is what they had a problem. Verse 7, Exodus chapter 17, verse 7 says, and he called the place, Moses, because out of all things happened, they just want to remember what has happened. The place, Rephidim, he called the place Massah and Meribah, because it means Israel quarreled against God. That means Meribah. And because they tested the Lord, God's patience, that's called Massah. Is the Lord among us or not? They failed to trust the Lord, his presence, the saving presence. He have saved them from the slavery. Not only that, they saved them crossing the Red Sea. Compared to that miracles, this is a tiny thing. God was with them while they were coming out of Egypt. God was with them while they walked through the hole that crossing the Red Sea was amazing. They were walking right in the middle of the water. God was with them, but right here, is he with us? What is going on? They didn't trust. They failed to trust. Three things that's happening. That was a problem. Verse 1 and 2 and last part of the paragraph talks about there's no trust. They failed it completely. That was the greatest failure. We do have that kind of problem. We do went through that kind of, we do have that lowest part of our life when we think about our faith. My faith was so weak sometimes because the tremendous thing that has happened to us, many problems. When we get there, when there's no water, our faith goes down. We've been there. We've all been there. So that was our whole story. That is one of our problems. We failed it. They failed it. So coming out of this, what can we learn? See, God, when God created all this humanity, whole world, whole universe, this is his purpose. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 21 says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory, with the glory of the Lord. That's so marvelous. Miraculous thing that God has put up there, whole universe, for all of us, for humankind. God created it for His glory, filled with His glory, filled with His presence, filled with His love, this whole earth, whole world. But what has happened? What has happened? Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about how the sin coming into this whole world is supposed to be filled with God's glory, but instead filled with all gross sins. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. The world is supposed to be filled with God's glory. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, so for everyone sinned. What does Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says it about this? Against God's purpose for creation. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It should be filled with the glory of God, but fall short of the glory of God. That is what has happened. That's the Israelites' problem. No water, no trust, fail to trust the Lord. That's where that is. Failed. They fall short of the glory of the Lord. Yes, that is the foundation. We are lost. We are lost. But God, is God, does God not turn His back on us when we sin, when we fall short of the glory of the Lord, God? This is the answer, provision. What is God's solution for our human, lost human condition? God already provided for way out. God arranged to believe in God's saving presence. Verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 6. It says, Then Moses cried out to the Lord. Now there comes the point that it's not a time to fighting against each other. It's about time to asking God, what am I to do with these people? These people, they're almost ready to stone me, Lord. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the whole people publicly. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Somebody will witness what is going to about to happen. And take in your hand the staff with which you use it to strike the river called Nile. What did it happen? Once he hit the Nile River, it turned into blood, right? That miracle thing happened using the same staff, same stick. Verse 6, I will stand there before you by the rock at Hebron or Horeb. Now strike the rock. It said, struck the rock. River, now, instead of river, as now, you're going to strike the rock. And water will come out of it for the people to drink. There was no water, and now there will, it says they will, water will come out of from the rock. Well, they were quarrel against leadership. They were testing over God's patience. They didn't trust. According to this passage, especially verse 6, it says, I will stand there before you. Does God turn his back on us? It says, God said, he will be there. He didn't turn his back on us. He was with them. His face shined upon all these people who were against, were testing God's patience, his love. Answer to that question, he didn't turn his back on us. He's still taking care of us. Just like I have saved you, struck the river, Nile, water into the blood, now rock into the water. There's three things that we can learn. It says, go out in front of the people. It's publicly, I will show you that I am for you. I am with you. Because they were publicly tested God's patience. They publicly quarrel, arguing against leadership. Now God has to show all that. Everybody can see what is going to happen. They were witnessing how God was being tested, how God was still patient and loved the Israelites. First point was in publicly. Secondly, it was continuation of miracles, continuation of, you know, God is sustaining the salvation. I saved you. I saved you from your old life. I'm bringing you into the promised land. I'm sustaining you that I have saved you. You are my possession. You are treasures of my possession. You are my people. I'm still there even you test my patience. I will use the same thing. You use the same story of salvation. You can use it today. Same thing. Same way. You struck the river. Now you are striking the rock. You will see how marvelously God is loving us, taking care of us. Even you don't trust me, even there's no water, you fail to trust me, but I'm still for you. Wow! I'm still for you. Publicly, God has vindicated that God is there for them. It was continuation of a story of salvation. And there were, I will be there, God's presence. Yeah, he never turned his back on us. He's still there. Even we can't feel it. I don't feel like he's with me, but God said, this is a fact. I am with you. You know what? Do you think you need water? No. You need me. You need me. I know you need water, but you need trust. When you strike the rock, I will be standing on the rock. I'll be there. I will provide you water, but I'll be there. Eventually, you need me more than water. More than water. Wow. You know, it's so hard to believe it. It's kind of hard to believe because I don't feel like I can believe it. Because compared to my difficulties, compared to where I am standing, I can't feel it. I can't feel that God is with me. But Bible kept telling us from the beginning to the end, God has kept telling us echoing from this text that, trust me, don't be like Israelites. We have heard that so many times, God is with us, New Life Presbyterian Church. Today, I will be there on that rock. I'll be standing right before you, while your presence, worshiping the Lord. See, there was a problem, and this is provision. God has said it, has been done, it struck the Nile. Today, God is telling us to strike the rock. See, we all fall short of the glory of God. The main reason God created Israel, according to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says, I created you, Israel, for my glory. God created all of us, members of New Life Church, for God's glory. And not just that, how can we see that God's glory? Because He promised. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, it says in the middle of it, keep the oath that He swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with mighty hand, coming out of the slavery, Egypt. Oath, keep His words, promise. He promised that you will see God's glory. Why? Because it was out of love. Because it is because the Lord loves you. God wants to bless you. When God created the whole world, God blessed them, multiplied, filled the whole world, subdued the whole world. I'm giving you this place for you. It's all for God's glory. It was God's provision. This is why He made us. God still loves us. That's God's provision. That's how He solved our sin. Come to the last point. Promise. We're the problem. This is how God has planned it. This is the way we can correct our lives. So can you believe me? Security of our salvation. God has promised. They have failed to believe the Lord, saving presence of God. Now, God has arranged it. How to trust the Lord. I'll be there before you on the rock. Now God has promised. Now it's time we have to believe in God's saving power. It says, verse 6. Yeah. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6 says, I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock. And it said, water is coming out. But that's what it said. That's not what it said. Did it say water is coming out right now? No, it said God promised that water will come out if you believe it. And God has promised He will keep His word because He said He will bring all those water out of rock. So we have to believe God's saving power. God's saving power that He will give us from no water to there is water. There's water. That is promise. No doubt that God will keep His word. Yes. Yes. God is telling us to strike the rock and you will have water to drink. So don't harden our hearts. Because this is how it has described what has happened long time ago. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And between it says, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion on the day of testing. It's the same test, telling the same thing. And the wilderness, do you remember your forefathers? Your ancestors, this is what they did, testing God. Because they were hardening their heart. So we should not harden their heart. We should not, you know, testing over God's patience. God is with us. We should not do that. I said, don't be like Israelites. They were not trusting the Lord, but be faithful. Yes, that's the thing that we can learn. That's the foundation of our holy faith, is trust the Lord. Have a confidence where there is no water, no water. 1 Corinthians, wow, this passage is so famous, right? It was written in the Old Testament, but they are describing a New Testament. One of the passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, same instance, but this is how God has interpreted to us. The distress in the wilderness where they needed water, this is what the Bible says. They drank from the spiritual rock. They were, what was about physical water? Now they're talking about. Do you know the incident of what has happened? This is indicating about this. It was not only physical rock. They got the water and drink that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Rock is about Christ. Not only water, but we will have a living water. Living water. The undeserved blessings are water from the rock in the wilderness. Rephidim, that's the name it was called. But later, he named it testing. That wilderness is about all things about the cross of the Christ, blood of Christ, the living water. We need to drink that one. That is how we can have confidence. Yes, I accept Jesus Christ, living water. Yes, God is with me. God is for me. Even I commit sin. Wow, that was a question, right? That was a question. That was keep bothering me from the beginning of this worship. At the end of the sermon, that was a key point. Now come to this point. Okay, God has promised me, but there was something is bugging me. Kept bugging me. Wow, what is it? Why? What is it? Why do many people lack the assurance of salvation? Oh, man. Oh, wow. I'm still a sinner. I still have a problem. Why is it? Because since they commit after salvation, now we are doubting about salvation. I feel like I'm still lost. I never accepted Jesus Christ genuinely. I don't think I really saved because I keep committing sin. So the middle age, do you remember the back then, the church, the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, they were come out of some good idea. It says, it's okay about three times you keep, you commit three times right after baptism. So what has happened? They don't want to be baptized. Right? Until the end of my life, like 80s or 90s, and you baptize, and you're counting for three times, and you are still safe. But if you made a three times mistake sin, strike out, three strike out, you're out of salvation. They were coming out with some idea that kept bothering me. I'm safe. I'm even pastor. Three times? I commit sin more than three times. Did I lose my salvation? I feel like I lost my salvation. There is a big difference between the personal assurance, feeling like it, I don't feel like I'm saved. There's a big difference, personal assurance of my salvation and the promised security of my salvation. Pretty easy way. Why I may or may not have feelings of assurance? Because I commit sin right after salvation, right after I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and said, Lord, but he doesn't look like he's my Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm God. But the security rests on the fact, based on the promise that God said. That's it. What was it? What was it? John chapter 3, verse 16. It says eternal life. Not three times and you are out of salvation. No, it says at that moment you got eternal life, not temporary life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Not three times and you are out. No. Right there moment, this is God's word. This is a fact. God has declared us no guilty, not guilty. God will never turn his back on us. God is still with us. But God is telling us, don't be like Israelites. Trust me, even there is no water. See, coming out of Egypt is representing accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're saved while you're crossing the Red Sea. Completely have an everlasting life. But after 6 weeks, they commit sin. After 6 weeks. But they tested God not three times, 10 times. They should be out of luck then. But since out of three, more than three times, they were testing God's patience 10 times. But it says eternal life. Eternal life. So can we enjoy the eternal life? Don't wait till we go to heaven. Most of people think that we have to wait till to see when we go up to heaven. Just like we don't use it. Just like you put the, you know, you receive the gift, you put it in the garage somewhere because you don't know how to use that everlasting life. It is so glad that you received the gift. Maybe Christmas gift, but you don't know how to use that gadget, right? You receive it. You put it in the somewhere in the, you can't even find that one in the garage. The salvation is not the garage shelf gift. You can use it right now, this moment. The joy that you have been saved. Even you're still guilty of some of the things that we do every time. All the thoughts that I should not carry with me. Should not think about it. Should not, you know, watch it. Should not be around. Yes. There are so many. That's how we build the foundation on holy faith. Salvation is rock. We've drank the rock of Christ. It is security. It's not based on my feelings. So don't ever think that God will turn his back on us. That was a question. That was answer from the passage that we just read, Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. If you want to remember that, I want you to go back and read it to you. Read it yourself. It's just 7 verses. Think about it. There was a problem. No water, no trust, fail to trust. But God has provided for them everything. I will. I will be with you, standing right there. So God has provided the way we can be with the Lord, have great fellowship with the Lord. And God has promised that it's time for us to drink. It's time for us to drink. That's why we do have a communion. We drink the rock of Christ, right? The cup. We drink that one. Yes, that's why we drink the communion. Because we forget about it. The communion is a remembrance of how God has loved us. John 3:16, you have everlasting life. Let's enjoy the everlasting life on this Lord's Day. Lord's Day. I'm glad we were able to hear gospel again. You know, I wanted to preach about gospel or salvation. We all know about it. We all know about it. But there's always a question. Is my salvation? Is my salvation on the rock? Sometimes we're shaky. Sometimes we're depressed because there was endless same sin we commit every day. That really bothers me, bothers us. But you know, that's why I'm not deserve to have that God's love. I'm not deserve to have that God's blessing. But God has kept reminding me, use that gift that I gave you, everlasting life. I gave you. No guilty, James, no guilty. I said no guilty. I said no guilty. No guilty. Have that joy that I gave you, the gift, everlasting life. Sorry, I test you 10 times, but thank you, you still love me. Thank you, you still love me. Thank you still love me. That's why we every Sunday we sing together, right? Thank you. You saved me. You are with me. I know you promised me that you will be with me this coming new week. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father,